kudos to all of you for being here in the cold today. I personally like to think that the reason that it's cold, because there has to be a reason for us to endure this, but the reason that it's cold today is because God is protecting us in Calgary from poisonous snakes, spiders, and large bugs. So it has to be cold enough for them to all freeze and never live here again. And so this is why it is cold here today. If you are a scientist and this is not true, I want you to just keep the truth to yourself, because I'm clinging to that truth as to why we live in a place that is so cold. I also want to say, though, to any of our Westsiders who are watching this online today from their vacation homes in Palm Springs or Hawaii or anything like that, if you need a pastoral call this week, a pastoral visit, you just call me, and I'm happy to come and visit any of you in your warm places this week. Our scripture today is from the book of Samuel, and I love that it starts with somebody sleeping in church. And, you know, it's not the same as some people who have a gift of falling asleep in church and then trying to pretend that they were praying. Or it's not the same as being a youth leader or a youth and sleeping on a church floor in some kind of all-nighter. But our scripture today starts with Samuel, young Samuel, asleep in the temple. And Samuel's mother, her name was Hannah. And Hannah had wanted to have a child for a very long time. She wasn't able to have a child. And she cried out to the Lord. And this is what she said: "Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." So the Lord heard Hannah, the cry of her heart, and she was able to have a child. And true to her word, when Samuel was, I think, maybe around 3 years old, Hannah brought him to the temple and said, "I'm giving you to the Lord," and he lived there with Eli, the priest. So where we pick up today, Samuel is sleeping in the temple, and Eli is also sleeping in the temple. We hear Samuel hear this voice three times and go to Eli and says, "Eli, like, what? I'm here. You called me." And Eli says, "It's not me. Go back to bed." They think that Samuel was like maybe 10 to 12 years old in this space. And I want to know what magic was happening with Eli that he could get a 10 to 12 year old to turn around and go right back to bed without a glass of water and a snack and about 18 questions and another bedtime story. But either way, Samuel goes back and he keeps hearing this voice of the Lord. And then Eli realizes that it's the Lord speaking to Samuel. And so he says, "Well, the next time you hear this voice, this is how you can reply to him." And I think there's so many encouraging things in this short little snippet of history. First of all, God calls Samuel by name. Like, the Lord of the universe knows Samuel, this child's name. And he speaks to us. He speaks to Samuel. And sometimes I think we kind of have this idea of God is like really hard to figure out what he wants us to do and all of these things. And even that, like, if God speaks to us, we might miss it. And here's God, like, so graciously and gently, three times speaking to Samuel to get his attention. He doesn't say, "Whoa, I gave you one chance and you missed it. I guess your chance to serve me is gone." But sometimes I think we kind of think that about the Lord, that we have to have all these kind of like ducks in a row, or God is kind of fleeting, and how are we ever going to know when he's speaking to us? So I love that we see in this that God is so patient and gracious, and he keeps just gently calling our names and calling our names and calling our names. And he calls a child. So Eli's the priest. Like, Eli has been set apart. He's part of the Levites. He's been set apart to be a priest. He spent his whole life reading scripture, listening for the voice of God, being able to give that God's word back to the people. So why does God not speak to Eli? Like, why does he speak to Samuel in this case? And I like this. Eugene Peterson says, we don't have to fit prefabricated moral or mental or religious boxes before we are admitted into the company of God. We are taken seriously as we are and given a place in his story. For it is, after all, his story. None of us is the leading character in the story of our life. So again, just this picture of, we think sometimes that God is over here and we are over here. And there's all these things that we have to do to get to God. And one of the things that I love that we see in this story is God comes to us. God comes to Samuel. It said that Samuel didn't know the Lord. God came to him. It wasn't all these things that Samuel had to do to get the attention of the Lord or to be good enough or any of those things. The Lord came to him. And I think that that's such a beautiful image of God's love for us. But then how did Samuel know the voice of the Lord? He hears it and he responds to it. Once Eli tells him, he responds to it immediately. And one of our other scriptures we read today is this one, Psalm 139. You have created my inmost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. I don't know if any of you are knitters, but you don't just take some wool and throw it against the wall and end up with a sweater. It's this very intricate process of all these knots coming together to make something beautiful. It's very thoughtful. It's very detailed. So we think about, you knit me together in my mother's womb. God created us in this very intimate, detailed, very thought through way. It says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Like, are there any more beautiful words than fearfully and wonderfully made? We were talking last week, David mentioned, it's like new year, new you. We're trying to, like, all this media is trying to tell us to change all these things about us. And then God actually says, no, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I made you. I thought about how I made you. There's intention in how I made you. And I made you exactly as I want you to be. Not near new year, new you. I made you this way. I created you beautifully, perfectly, wonderfully. And I love, and he says, and I know that full well. I used to tease my kids sometimes, mostly when I was trying to bust them, because I knew they weren't quite telling me the truth about things, but I would say to them, actually, you lived inside me. So I know you. Your heart beat beside my heart. You were in me, and I know you. So don't try to tell me you weren't the person who left all the dishes in the sink, kind of thing. But it's just a little example of there is this connection that I have to my children because they lived inside me. Our hearts did beat beside one another. On some kind of a molecular level, we know each other. And the God of the universe has done that with us. He's created us. He knows us. And we are perfectly created. So we know his voice. Because at a molecular level, at a cellular level, we know him. We know our creator. And as somebody who thinks about the role of our next gen, it's called our next gen here in this church, or thinking about children and youth and young adults, it's part of my role. These scriptures make me so happy. Because here we have the God of the universe speaking to children and calling them by name and saying, I have a plan for you and I want you to be a part of my plan. And I have all these things in store for you. And then Samuel as a child says yes to the Lord. Like, I just think those things are so beautiful. Sometimes when we think about church and children and youth, it's kind of complicated. Sometimes we think, you know, is God calling young people to be a part of the church of tomorrow? Is church, our children and teens, are they like, is it babysitting when they're here? Are we just entertaining them till they're old enough to be part of what's really happening in this room? And I think sometimes it's hard for us to think about God working through children, and so we don't really always know what to do with children and youth in our church. Is the church calling kids to something more, or are we just taking care of them to be seen and not heard? But I wonder, what if they are the adults of tomorrow, but they're also the church of today? So God called Samuel when he was a child, but did not make him a priest when he was a child. He had a plan. He was with him. He was with him all of his days. And when he was ready, then he was a priest. But God called him as a child. We just finished the Christmas season where Mary, as a young teenager, responded to the call of God, and God used her in incredible ways. And so I think that God is clearly telling us that he wants to use people of all ages, and oftentimes the people we would least expect. I think if we can teach our young people to pray, and then they will know how, when you learn how to pray, you know how to pray. You don't forget when you learn how to pray. Eli has a whole bunch of things that are going on in his life that he was not doing well. As a priest, he was not really living up to the ways that God had called the priests to live, and his sons were not doing the things that they were supposed to do as priests. There was a bunch of things that was happening in Eli's life. And yet the Lord, in the midst of all of that, still says, I'm going to use you, Eli, in the life of Samuel, which is just another beautiful way. Like, God just meets us where we're at, even when things are not all the way that we think they're supposed to be. But Eli teaches Samuel, when he says, when you hear the Lord respond this way, Eli's teaching Samuel to talk to God. Like, he's teaching him to pray. And once you know how to pray, you're going to know how to pray for the rest of your life. You don't forget how to talk to God. You don't lose that. You know how to do it. So whether you stay in church or you stay connected to people in church, if you learn as a child how to pray on Sunday morning in Sunday school or with youth or whatever that is, you know how to do that for the rest of your life. And all of us in this room are so aware of the fact that there are times in our lives where we have to call out to God, where our life doesn't go the way we expect, where there's nowhere else to turn. And so if we can teach our children how to pray, no matter what happens in their life, they know how to talk to God and they can pray to him at any point in their life. If we can teach our children the truth, I think that is another thing that'd be so helpful. The truth of Psalm 139, that they are beautifully made. They're fearfully made. They are perfect as they are. This truth that's like at the core of who you are, it defines you and it sets you up in a certain trajectory. We want our kids and youth to understand that they are perfectly made as they are. And we want them to know that they are a part of our church, They're not off. The kids are in the East Hall and the youth are in the house right now. But it's not because we're sending them away and we don't want to see them. It's because we want them to engage. They're engaging with this exact same scripture as we are, but in ways that help them to understand what God's love is for them, that help them to understand how to learn how to pray, how to look at scripture and understand all these things. So it's not because they're off doing their own thing and they're not going to be a part of it. They're going to come and be a part. They are a part of this church. And even our youth and grade 4-5s come back and they join us for communion, because we believe that when you come to the table, you experience Jesus. And think about when you were in junior high. It's like one of those, there's lots of times in life we don't remember some things, but junior high we don't forget, because junior high is full of so many wonderful blessings, isn't it? So many things are changing and so many things feel out of control and there's a lot of emotions and there are so many feelings, right? Just so many feelings about everything. You're trying to find your way in the world. In the midst of all of that, what a gift to be able to come to the table and know that you're going to meet Jesus. That no matter what else is going on in your life, when we come to the table, we meet Jesus. That's where we can meet him. He's always present to us there. And what a tether that can be for anyone of any age, that we know that we're going to be able to meet him there. The table roots us. It centers us. And it puts all the other things in life into perspective, even if it's just for a few minutes. The table, when we all come together to the table, we come together in this beautiful way and we meet Jesus. So if our children and youth at Westside, our prayer is that they would know how to pray, they would know the truth about who they are, and that they would be able to come to the table with us. And, you know, I realize that some of this raises some questions. What does that mean to have children come to the table? And this is something that David and I don't have answers for right now, but we're thinking about it a lot. We're praying about it a lot. And really our dream, what a beautiful thing it'll be for us to all be able to come to the table together in some way in the future. So as we prepare to come to the table today, I'm actually going to ask us to stand and we're going to pray a blessing over our children and youth. And if you are comfortable, if you want to, whenever there's a blessing, I like to have open hands. And I'm going to ask if you want to come and read this alongside of me for our children and youth. So, oh God, we turn our hearts toward our children and youth, whom we welcome and cherish as members of your church and reflections of your goodness and love. May they grow in faith to love and serve you as Lord with all of their hearts for all of their lives. May they know the greatness of your works and your loving kindness towards them. May we, as their community of faith, support and guide them in doing good, being generous and reflecting the mercy that represents a life for Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with them today and every day of their lives. Amen.